It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. For military veterans, the transition from service to civilian life can be stressful and unpredictable. When she was a freshman in high school, Alexis Werner was startled by the changes she saw in her stepfather, who had recently returned from a tour in Afghanistan. She, along with Vietnam veteran and counselor Greg Dietz, formed the nonprofit Seeds of Hope to address issues of post-traumatic stress among servicemen and women. Their latest outreach project is a documentary called Our Way Home, which premieres tomorrow at Soldiers and Sailors Museum in Oakland. Alexis Werner and Greg Dietz join us now. Greg Dietz in studio and Alexis by phone. Welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Greg, welcome. Have you with us.
It's good to be here.
I'll have you lean forward toward that microphone there and encourage our listeners to join us at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email is esspgh@wesa.fm. And on Twitter, at ESSPGH. And as you listen to Alexis Werner and Greg Dietz talk about the purpose of their film and how they plan on helping veterans and their families, we'd like to hear the stories that have impacted your family if you are related to someone or know someone or are close to someone who has served in the military, who has dealt with PTSD. We'd like to hear about how it has impacted your family, what was done to help the person in your family who was suffering with PTSD, how you all dealt with it. These are very important issues, and we're going to discuss them extensively today here on Essential Pittsburgh on this Veterans Day. And let's start with you, Alexis. Walk us through what Our Way Home is and what purpose you're hoping it'll serve.
So Our Way Home is a documentary we started 3 years ago. The focus is all on post-traumatic stress from World War II until present day. So the difference, I think, with our film, with other films and videos about post-traumatic stress is that we capture the historical and cultural perspective as well as the psychological perspective. We do interviews with veterans from every era from World War II until today, with psychologists, with family members of vets, really trying to show the full effect on both the family, the community, society at a large, and the veteran.
It's pretty much been a tradition for veterans not to talk about what they've experienced, even though in more recent years, and particularly with regard to veterans from the Afghanistan and Iraqi wars, that they are encouraged to talk. Whereas years ago, for example, World War II veterans were reluctant to talk, and there was no special outreach that was done to encourage them to do so. From your standpoint, Alexis, your stepfather had returned from a tour in Afghanistan, and I'm wondering what you noticed and what you thought about in terms of how to deal with what he was going through once you realized what it was.
For me, this is where Greg starts to play in a huge role because I didn't know how to handle it. We were doing the best to get by and kind of waiting for it to be over.
What was happening? Alexis, let me jump in. What was going on there? How was this manifesting itself?
So as soon as he came home, everything was great, right? You know, we were excited to have him there. He had a huge family. They were coming and being really supportive. But once everything really got back to normal, where everyone was going back to work, people weren't coming over all the time. For me, I think that was the point where my stepdad had finally realized that something was different and he didn't have the distraction of the family to kind of not have to think about it. For me, what I had seen was that he was going from very happy to very upset in just a matter of moments. He was sleeping in an upright position like he was holding a gun. His whole demeanor had changed from before he'd left for Afghanistan. You know, we'd find him crying in closets, and what do you do, right? Because we didn't realize what it was. And I think that was the scariest part.
And Greg, you, as a Vietnam veteran, you can relate to what was going on here. Talk about what it was like for you. What was Alexis seeing? What was her stepfather going through? Is some of that recognizable to you?
Yes, it is. But I think, again, when you look at post-traumatic, it affects everybody in a different way. And I think that's why we've been so, it's been so long to sort of deal with it. And I still don't think we have a firm grip on what it looks like. So when I came back from NAM, I ended up in Los Angeles. And at that point of time, there was a lot of strife going on in the city, and there were an awful lot of police helicopters. And occasionally one would come by, and I would get all anxious and stressed out, not understanding that.
Thinking this was, the helicopter was enough to take you back to a situation in Vietnam.
Yes. And then when I moved back to Pittsburgh, I actually bought a house over on the south side. And during the summer months, I'd wake up in cold sweats and just sort of hearing the helicopter going over to Mercy Hospital. And it still didn't click in my head. And then I moved over to the north side and then had that same type of behavior with AGH's helicopters. And then it just connected, and this is like 20 years later from NAM, that I was in a Marine base in Chulai and with the helicopters coming in when we were being attacked, and also looking at the hillside with the helicopters spreading Agent Orange. So never really dealt with that and just sort of covered it up. And then when all of that came out, realizing that, the stress and the anxiety and the cold sweats were coming directly from that. So I think, again, when Lexi came in, sometimes it's very difficult to deal with things that are outside in therapy and in counseling. And sometimes when somebody actually has something that they can work on and put their passions and their emotional action, I guess, taking more action than just talking about it, it brings about healing. Sometimes not only for the person, but in the family and the community at large. And I think Lexis has really done that with this film and her journey over the last 5 years, starting with the community gardens, starting with her publishing that children's book and things like that.
And so how did this help you in embarking on this project, Lexis? How did this help you deal with the problems that your stepfather was going through?
So for me, it was the gardens, especially, it was something positive on a daily basis. I was seeing growth, physical growth with the gardens, and it was something positive where we could all come together in the smallest way and help other people. With this film, I think the film was really the part that changed me, because I was finally hearing other veterans' stories and realizing that our family wasn't alone. This wasn't something that we were just dealing with. You know, as Greg says, everyone deals with it in their own way. But I was finding a lot more similarities and differences and stories from veterans who were 90 to veterans who were 25.
How does Seeds of Hope approach the issue of PTS in a way that is different, that has not been done or tried in the past?
So with Seeds of Hope, we're not just focusing on the veterans, and I think that's an important part, because it isn't just the veteran struggle. It's the family struggle. It's the community struggle. It's the government struggle. It's everyone's struggle to do what is right by our military members and their families. I think that for us, we're doing curriculum for high school students and university classrooms to go along with the film, to really try and gauge an interest within that population. We're working with other community organizations to create a resource website so veterans have one central location where they can type their zip code in and any grassroots organization to the VA hospital comes up. We're working with military bases, trying to getting volunteers from their bases to come and have an impact on our programming. And again, we're working with the veterans and their families on an individual basis, talking about their stories, which I think is something that we as a community don't do enough, is asking the hard questions, asking how it was when you come home. And for me, I'm in a really, really great position to do that, because I can align myself with those families, because we are one of those families.
And Greg, you wanted to jump in and say something.
Yeah, I did too. And I think the most important thing is giving veterans a voice. A lot of people will come up when they recognize that I was in Vietnam and say, thank you for your service. Well, fine, but engage with me on that. Ask me where I did my service and how I'm feeling and things like that. And I think this film, and even with our work with the Vets Place on Washington Boulevard, we're actually engaging with the veterans and giving them a voice. One of the gentlemen that's in the film was my mechanic over here on the South Side for 25 years. And we both knew we were over in Vietnam, and we had that don't talk, don't trust, don't feel.
Why is that?
I think it's somewhat of a message that you get. Lexis and I attended a workshop at the Omega Institute in the fall last year, and a lot of generals and military brass were talking about that that's embedded in you during boot camp, and it's embedded into the entire system.
What is this, the idea that
don't talk, you don't trust, and you don't feel. You trust the people that you're with, but it's a different type of trust versus going inside. It's a really great film out coming out right now called The Mask We Live In, and it's about just that in itself, that our culture now is becoming one that's embedded in that don't talk, don't trust, don't feel. I mean, we can talk about sports. We can talk about the weather.
You can talk around everything.
But the real stuff. We never go inside anymore and talk about our feelings and our emotions.
How might something like Seeds of Hope helped you when you were returning from Vietnam?
Well, I think, again, giving me a voice and giving me a platform to talk about my struggles.
Where were you over there?
I was in Chu Lai.
And what did you experience?
That was the other, and I'm not the only one in that experienced this. You experience going out, nights being bombed. During the morning, we were right on the coast.
You were on patrols when this was happening?
I didn't do patrols. We were actually a Marine air base, an Army helicopter base, and the Navy SEALs were there, and the Seabees were there. So we were right on the coastline. We did go into the villages from time to time. But this was the other side of it. I actually surfed there off of the coast. And one day I catch a wave, and live from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, this is KQV broadcasting to Vietnam. I mean, I thought, so you're getting all these totally different experiences.
So when you say surfing, you're surfing the airwaves.
No, I'm surfing on a surfboard in the China Sea. That's the whole, like the Disneyland part of all of this, is that it doesn't feel real. It doesn't. You're in a village, and I have one of the best memories.
I'm just trying to understand, where does the KQV part come in?
The KQV would do a live broadcast, and it would be sent over to Vietnam like the day later and stuff.
So you're
like
hearing it.
I'm hearing it on the loudspeakers.
Okay.
As I'm catching a surf, a wave on a surfboard. And one of my other
And so you're mentioning that because it's a surreal thing, or there's this thing connecting you to home that's making it seem to you as though you're questioning, am I really here? What's going on?
Right, and I think, again, going into the village, again, these little girls and little boys would come up and play tic tac toe with you and stuff like that. But you also had the fear of going into that village, and you were always like on guard. So I think that's what it's, and I've always said this, if you would punch me right now, yes, I would be hurt, I would recover. But if you constantly were patting me on the part and I couldn't get away from that, that would affect me more psychological. And I think that's what we need to look at as far as wars, is that it's not sometimes the trauma that happens, it's the constant stress. It's the daily stress that sometimes wears on us. And because it's prolonged over maybe a 6-month period, or for myself, 13 months in Nam, you're not realizing it, that it's having that profound effect on you, which then takes us back to the don't talk, don't trust, don't feel. Because if it was traumatic, you could be able to sort of maybe put your head around that and verbalize that.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. My guests are Greg Dietz, a Vietnam veteran whom you just heard from, and Alexis Werner, who's with us by phone. They are the people behind the documentary Our Way Home, and Alexis is also the person who started Seeds of Hope, which approaches the issue of PTS in a unique way and addresses some of the issues that that you've heard Greg talk about, that he is dealing with, that all veterans, all people who've been in theaters of war deal with, something that those of us who have not been in that situation may have a hard time relating to, but can certainly understand. And Alexis, I'm curious who you talked to in making this documentary and what you learned from them.
So I've really been working with a lot of mentors. I think that's the cool part about making this film, was I was working with Women and Girls Foundation, Heather Arne and Tara Simmons, and they were helping me because they just finished a film about women in politics. So helping me along with the process, our cinematographer, Chris Venus, I had nothing, I had no idea about how to create a film or how to write a film. But he, even though we had hired him as a contractor, he jumped on board with this project as much as Greg and I had been, and really immersed himself in teaching me about how to work with the film. And then also just, and more importantly, the veterans in themselves, their stories, you know, how open they all were. Each of them had told me such intimate details about their times overseas and their times coming home and their emotions coming home that they had told very, very few people. And I felt very, very privileged to have that experience with them and to have made that connection with them, because it taught me a lot as far as what I was going through 5 years ago and what we're still dealing with, knowing that these people want to be open. They want to tell their story. They don't have the platform to, but we're creating that for them.
Go ahead, Greg.
And can I say one other thing? And I think this ties everything in. Lexi has that ability to show genuine compassion and empathy and caring. And it did take me back when I was mentioning my mechanic. I mean, he would never share with me. We went down in the garage. Lexi looked into his eyes, asked him a couple questions, and he opened up. And there were a number of veterans that she was the first one that they shared their stories with. But I think it also is that she's such a special young woman that has that ability to sort of be still with somebody and be present. And I think that's all veterans really need is somebody, and sometimes it can't be a friend or a family person. It can be a stranger that just sits with them and is interested in their story, wanting to hear it and just to sit with it. I think that's the important piece.
And Alexis, who are you trying to reach with your film?
I would like to reach the community at large. I'd like to reach the veteran population, talking to the kids of the veterans, especially, I think, is something that people aren't focusing on, because we talk about who struggles with post-traumatic stress, and yes, the veterans do, but the kids are still feeling the full effects of it. And so I would like the wide range, the community members, the students, the veterans, the organizations. I want this film to be a resource for everyone to use. So whether you know your neighbor might be struggling with this, giving him or her the opportunity to see other people's stories and knowing that they don't always have to be Army Strong. They're allowed to feel, they're allowed to go through what they're feeling. That's what this film's about.
It sounds like you are perhaps planning to dedicate your life to this kind of work.
Yeah, I preach to everyone, you know, stick by your vets. It's important to be there for them, and that's exactly what I'm planning on doing.
Before we wrap this up, Greg Dietz, a Vietnam veteran, what are you thinking about? What's foremost in your mind on this Veterans Day?
reaching out to veterans, fellow veterans or fellow brothers and sisters who have walked the talk, who have really given us their, some of them their lives, some of them are their souls, and some of them their our heart, their hearts, and paying it forward to them.
The documentary is called Our Way Home. It premieres tomorrow at Soldiers and Sailors Museum in Oakland. We've been talking with the people behind the film, primarily the young lady who is who got the ball rolling on this, Alexis Werner, who's also involved, of course, with the Seeds of Hope project as well, and Greg Dietz, who is a Vietnam veteran who's been advising her on this and is very much involved himself. Thanks to both of you for joining us today and sharing your stories with us.
Thank you for being such a good listener.
My pleasure.
Thanks.
You bet. Coming up, a conversation with the editor of the recently published Guantanamo Diary. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.